Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, we've been talking a lot about marathons and how to train for marathons. And as a marathoner, one of the things I used to hate doing or totally didn't understand was the concept of tapering. And you could even put a little sidekick in there because I know this is a big one that we've talked about before, the carbo loading. So can you talk about like that, why we taper? What is a taper? What does that mean? And what's the best way to taper for a race? And then you can also throw in there a little bit about the carbo loading myth. And I call it a myth because it really is.
Well, for us, we don't do much tapering. So that's an interesting conversation. So the idea behind the taper is the kind of the traditional marathon training route where people would start, say with a certain number of miles, and then they would add a 10% increase kind of a week of mileage till they reach this number. For most people, it's like 20. They reach this 18 to 20 mile marker, and then they would start to drop back on their mileage, you know, until the marathon. So that's a really traditional training method that people have used for years and years. So then the idea is that, you know, you build up this ability to run the long distance, and then you bring it down so your legs will be, say, fresher for the race, right? That's the belief, right? And honestly, for everybody, like, you need to have recovery in order for your legs to be fresh, if you will. So this is why even in your weekly training, you don't just run long runs every day, or you don't do intervals every day. Everything is varied, you know, throughout the week. So with us, we really test your racing system throughout the training. So that means inside of your training, we kind of rotate weekly, where one week you do like a run without worrying about anything other than I'm just going to go out and get some time on my feet. And then we'll rotate that with, say, a time trial, where I'll say you got to go run a 10K and it's like you're racing. And the reason we do that is because we want the body to be ready for both performing under stress, which is a race, and also running for time, which is, of course, your distance. So what happens in your training, especially when you train with us, is we're not so concerned with you hitting a certain mileage. We're more concerned with you being able to run for a certain length of time. So once you're very comfortable running up to 2 hours, this is for marathon training, we know you're ready. We know you're ready. Your body's ready. So we spend a lot of time getting you ready to run that kind of time. And then, of course, we test your time, like your 10K. You know, a marathon, by the way, is like four 10Ks.
Right.
Is really how you should think about training for a marathon. So we test your 10K a lot. We test your 10-miler. And then we test you over time. So what happens when you get closer to the marathon, you've already tested yourself under these different distances. We never train you up to the marathon. In fact, most of my training plans, I prefer runners to stay around the 2 hour mark for their longer runs because of the recovery you need. And this is really important. So when I said we don't need so much tapering, well, if you keep your body ready to perform, then tapering's not as important as just making sure your legs are ready to perform. So for example, you talk about marathon. The last marathon I ran, when I was training with Romanoff, he had me run 10 miles the Monday before my marathon that Sunday. So most people would be like, that's nuts.
Oh my God. Yeah. They think you're nuts. Right.
Right. he's like, that's not nuts. That's your regular training week. Like your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and the reality is that most runners that run consistently, they're not scared of miles anymore. It's making sure that, okay, my body's now, by the way, I don't have most people do that. We were testing training and it worked out fine. The reality is your legs shouldn't be fatigued because you're never taking them. You're not trashing them with your training. We're very careful with that. So reality, and again, we talked about this in our last podcast, but if you're an elite runner, for example, and you run a 6 minute mile, okay, this is important for people to understand. Say your race pace is 6 minute miles and you go out and you do a 2 hour training run and not even at full race pace, you go out and you run say a 7 minute mile, not a full race pace or even a 7:30, you're still getting so much more volume than someone that usually is running say a 10 minute mile. And then you're going to tell that 10 minute miler, go out and run for 3 hours at a 12 minute pace. They're going to be one, fatigued; two, their chance of injury is insane; and three, that it's not a quality session.
Right.
So it's important to understand that that's why we place more value over time than distance. Like, I'm not going to tell you to go run 20 miles when I know you're a 12 minute miler. It's important to understand that that's why most elites even, they run that 2 hour distance for a reason, because they want their legs to be ready to get back out that next day, even if they wanted to, and run again. And this is important, guys, because you're training for an event. So being able to get out and move is more important during your training. And that's why we do the training the way we do it. And we make sure your body's recovered. So that way, instead of tapering, we pull you back on intensity. Right? This is important. Okay. The week of your race, I'm not going to go out and have you do hill repeats.
Right.
But you're still going to go out and run because the body is used to running consistently. So instead of tapering, we just pull back on the intensity and for sure a little bit of volume. But most of our runners, they feel good going out and running the week of the race. So that way their schedule stays really consistent and their body's used to running during the week, not huge amounts of volume, but just consistent. And then you go out that weekend and you do your long run or your race. And that's the number one compliment we get from especially our marathoners is one, how they didn't feel beat up during training. And then second, race day didn't feel so scary because again, we didn't just pull away all their running right before their race. We just pulled back their intensity. So it's important, guys. You shouldn't feel so trash that you can't run. You should feel like, oh, my legs still feel good and springy, and I can still go out, you know, and get a little bit of time in on my feet. So that's how we do it. And that's important because tapering really is about getting your body to feel ready for race day.
Right. And I want to kind of talk about that because we've actually been together like almost, God, since 2018. And this, we've done a couple of podcasts on this topic, and it really does freak people out. Because you don't say, go do a 20 miler. You say, okay, this week is your 2 hour. You're going to go out for 2 hours. And you don't let people do more than that. But we've had enormous success, right? Because
we just had somebody run her marathon last weekend. And the worst thing she got, guys, was some chafing. And that's just, you know, a lesson learned on a little more Vaseline or Body Glide. But absolutely.
Can you talk about that mentality? Because we have had, you know, some pushback, but we've had enormous success. And we're talking, guys, men, women, young, old, all over the globe, Australia, Netherlands, Hawaii, Toronto, here in Texas. We've had great success with this concept of don't worry about the 20 miles, go out and run for 2 hours. So can you talk about that mentality and the pushback and how you're able to coach somebody through that?
Sure. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. We had a guy that he ran his first marathon with us and he got a 3:40 and his whole goal was to break four. So he did fantastic. And this woman that just ran, she ran her first and not everyone does their first marathon with us. So I will say that some people have run those other programs as well and then come and tried what we do. So one of the mindsets is, especially if I meet you, like if you come into RunRx, I'll use the woman that we had. So she came into RunRx. She had run a marathon before. She had plantar fasciitis, horrible plantar fasciitis. And but she still wanted to run, so she had found us. And when I met her, I said, please do not run marathons with your plantar fasciitis. Let's switch to just getting you out of the pain, minimizing pain. But I'm not going to make you stop running. And that's important for people to understand. I'm not about don't run. Let's just pull back on your mindset and your mileage, because she just had that marathon mindset, right? And that becomes a thing with people. They want to run this distance so bad that then they think, well, if I'm not running a marathon, it's not running. I mean, yes, it is.
Yeah. If I'm not running 20 miles or going out with my team, you know. Yeah.
I get it. Like, I've been there too. So anyway, she agreed, and she was in enough pain to not be able to run a marathon anyway. So we went back all the way back through the immersion, which is where I start everybody. Even if you're running a marathon, you should do the immersion, by the way. Anyway, so she started out with that. And then we worked just on her movement pattern, on the reason she was getting plantar fasciitis to start with. We had to work on that first. So first we got her to where she could run again, to where she was moving better. And of course she was checking in, coming on the Zooms. Then we went from 5K to 10K, then to half marathon. And then she's like, okay, I think I'm ready to go for it. So I'm like, well, let's just test it with some distance, some time distance, 1 hour runs, hour and a half runs, you know, 90 minutes. Yeah. Then we got to 200 minutes. And once she got to that 2 hour mark, let's do it then. Let's go for the marathon. And she did. And by the way, so like I said, she never ran past that 2 hour mark in training. That doesn't mean you only do it once, guys. And this is important to understand. Yeah. You're running consistently, checking in on those runs. So, and this is really neat because most marathon, even the elites, you want to run, it's accumulation of those quality miles. So by the end of the week, she might've run 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
She just didn't do it all at once. And her body was able to, one, handle the volume, handle the distance, and she was able to hold her form. And that's how you avoid injuries, is you don't break. You know, like, you can run, you know, anybody that's been a runner, wow, why do most people miss their runs?
Because they're injured.
Because they hurt, because they're injured, right? So imagine if you can take your body and let it run, holding form, you can keep running. That's the beautiful part of running. And so having your body, you know, at a place where it can run, and then you keep repeating these runs. So you gain the confidence, you gain the mindset, and then you can train the fueling. I know you wanted to talk about the carbs. Yeah. And the guy, by the way, the guy that just ran his 100K, great, another great example. He ran 100K, and we took him all through the training. And he's a good one to talk about nutrition. He felt fine, and that's what he said. His next run, he will practice more nutrition. It wasn't his feet and legs that really were giving out. It was his stomach. And that's an important thing, because that ruins people's marathons or long runs almost as much as injury at this point. So when you are training for those events, for those longer runs, yes, you have to implement carbs. Or whatever you're going to eat, I should say it like that.
Right.
We also have people that like to do the low carb, the keto. And by the way, that is so specific to the runner. It's really hard to just give a blank. I can, by the way, one thing I will say, I have zero hesitation on giving out running advice as far as form to everybody. Everybody should bend their knees. Everybody should hold their, everybody should pull their foot. I cannot say everybody should have this for their run as far as fueling, because I don't know how your stomach's going to respond. Only you can do that. So what we encourage people to do is test out their nutrition, both on shorter runs and higher intensity runs, because that is really when you feel what your stomach is going to do. Of course, on the long runs, that's a given. However, you know, and we laugh because you know this, you ask 10 people what they ate for breakfast, and you're going to get 10 different responses. So I tell people, be very careful following nutrition advice. Test, and retest, and then try to stay consistent on your training. And by the way, there's a lot of people out there right now, and they're pushing the carb envelope. You know, everything swings, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be this really high carb, high carb. But they did it through like pasta and bread.
Right.
Well, we were learned very quickly. All that does is add a lot of weight.
Right. It adds a lot of water weight, doesn't it? It just
Both. I mean, it's just people reading too many calories. Like, yeah, it was just insanity what people started to do. So, but the reason they were successful is that the water retention was important. Like, that's what they didn't understand at first.
People would eat carb,
it was the water that was the hydration portion was very good. But then everybody started to getting GI issues because you really, most people cannot just eat that much volume of food and then go run. So now it's all gels. Now, you know, the carb loading today is way more about how many gels people take. And it's insane what people are trying to do. Like, there's people out there that are like, I am fueling, like, I'm a gel machine.
Right.
And then other people are like, you know, I'm more traditional. I eat like maybe one gel an hour or something like that. And again, it's just kind of people having fun with testing. Mm-hmm. I personally, myself, when I was marathoning, I did gels all the time. I didn't have any issue with them. But then I had friends and runners and that could not eat them. So right. Now today you've got like high carb gels, low carb gels, gels with bicarb. That's really popular right now. So we're very much like, you need to find what works for you and train with it. Don't wait till race day and just have what's on the course.
Right.
It's a big part of training. And there's, you know, I like to look at both sides of everything. And there's a guy out there. He's very, he used to be very high carb and he's a doctor. He's got a book out. It's called The Lore of Running, and now he's about to release Volume 2. And he ended up with pre-diabetes.
Ooh.
And he was very thin, and he ran and ran and ran and ran. And he's a doctor, and he was advocating for other people to eat carbs and all that. And then he went full on the other direction, like low-carb, low-carb. And now he's very much like kind of what I'm saying. You've got to test, and don't just think more is better.
Right.
A lot of people do really well with low carb, and then there's other people out there with all the gels. So we encourage our runners to test and then retest, because that's the only way you're really going to know.
So back to what you were talking about briefly with the immersion. So if I'm a runner and I want to come in and I want to work with you for a little bit, I want to give this immersion thing a try. Maybe I've had some chronic injuries and it keeps hitting. Maybe I don't have any injuries. This is just a bucket list thing. Do you suggest that I come in like 6 months before I want to do a marathon? You know, obviously not right before a marathon, right after a marathon. Is there like a sweet spot for when I should maybe start working with you?
I mean, that would be ideal. 6 months before a marathon and give yourself, you know, a full month for the immersion, a couple months to really feel it in your run, and then start your marathon program. Sure. Especially if you have no injuries. If you have an injury, we'd like to see you a year before, you know, like come in and let us work through your injury, get you back into running, and then set your marathon goal. That would be ideal. If you're injured, right? From injury to marathon, I'd go with, depending on the severity of the injury. And, you know, of course, that would be ideal. Of course, we've had so many people come through and they are already, they're already in their training and they're not injured. So, of course, like anything else, it's really fun, by the way. Like, we just had a guy, he's still in. He came in. I don't think he's injured. I think he was just looking to get back into it. And he ran a 50K and PR'd by 13 minutes. And he's like, it was great. He's like, I just started pulling and it felt great. So, I mean, I would love that for everybody, but the reality of what we actually see is most people really, you know, think about it. If you're really wanting to try something and you're ready to, like, you have to have an open mind coming in. I'm going to work on my running, so it's going to feel a little weird. I'm going to add these drills in, right? So
right.
I would say it would be great to have that six-month window to give yourself time to play with it even, you know, feel the running, get into it. I remember we had a guy. I remember Alexa, he came in and his goal was the New York Marathon. He'd had not a great experience and he really wanted to run it like an experience New York, like you hear about and you read about, right?
Right.
And I mean, I still laugh because gosh, when he first started, I mean, he just could not bend his knees.
And yeah, that's a big
come
one.
In on the Zoom, and I would do his check-in, and I'd be like, bend the knees, right? And in the beginning, he thought he was frustrated. He was frustrated with me. He was frustrated with himself. And it seemed like so simple, but I could see the potential in his running. And I kept saying that. I was like, don't worry. When this clicks for you, you are going to be writing that New York story. And he did. Remember, he ran New York.
Yeah.
He ran like eight something miles, and he said he did it all. He might still be on our website,
you know, and if you go back and look at any of our membership wins, he's a big one on the Instagram.
That was a great story. It was just so fun though, because he had to step back from the frustration of why is it not working for me? Right. Like in the first couple, guys, we go through this with everybody.
Yeah.
It's like the first 2 or 3 weeks. Some people come in and they just, in the beginning, it feels so weird. And then it starts to click. And then we get these aha moments and,
And it's right about, because it's like 4 weeks. So it's right about that 2 to 3 week mark where you start to kind of feel it, but you can't hold it. So it's a frustration.
Right.
But that's the aha moment. You know, you now can feel it. Once you can feel it, now it's a matter of training your body to hold it. Right.
Right.
And that's different for everybody. We have some people that catch on very quick. Some people take a little bit longer. It just depends. And you have to be open to it. You have to be willing to train and try, be consistent. So with anything, you have to really be consistent. So,
right.
So if you've just, maybe you just ran the Chicago, maybe didn't we just have New York?
We just had New York last week.
You know, we're coming up on some winter ones, and you're thinking about maybe I want to do better. Maybe I want a better time. Maybe you came out injured and you're coming back from the injury. We would love to see you, and you can come in and work with us monthly. Absolutely not a problem. But you can also sign up right away and go annual, and basically you get 2 months free. So for work, if you just finished a marathon and you want to do the next marathon, come in annual, save a couple months. It's a deal, because you're gonna wind up paying for those months anyway. And if you want, we do always allow. We love people to come with us. We call them lifers. Come with us for a lifetime. It's about the cost of two years annual. But we do have like a 3 month payment plan for you. But we do that because what'll happen is, over time, you're just going to stay with us. You just learn to love us. We're a crazy, crazy group, but we get you, is the point. We get your running, and we're that running group that doesn't mind that you are free falling, or that you are jump roping, or that you're doing strength training. We've got quite a few. We've got, like, I would say about a third of our membership that does CrossFit, right? That does really want to try to do some heavy lifting. And of course, Valerie's a CrossFit coach as well. So we can meet you where you're at. If it's a triathlon you want to do, if it's an Ironman you want to do, we have, we've got 2 or 3 masters Iron women, actually, right? That have been doing the Ironman. So we can train you in it. And if you're interested in it, we want you to come join us. Go to runrx.fit or look us up on our app. You'd find it under Apple or under Google Play. Look for RunRx Academy. You can join the membership there, and it's right there in it. You can also see it from your desktop either way. And you can go through the immersion with us, get on a Zoom with us, have her watch you in real time. And it would really help your running. I guarantee it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.